It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're going to begin with a Bible question. Now, we all know that Jesus was nailed to the cross. And yet, when you read the accounts of the crucifixion, both in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke and in John, it does not mention that the soldiers nailed him to the cross, only that he was crucified on the cross. That being the case, how is it that we know that Jesus was nailed to that cross? Well, I'm going to read the answer to that to you in just a moment. It's found in the book of John, but it's not found in the account of his crucifixion, but in one of the accounts of one of his appearances after his resurrection. That might have given you a hint. I'll show you how we know in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, here's how we know. If you remember when Jesus appeared to the apostles the first time, one of them was missing. That was Didymus. He was not with them. And the other disciples told him, "Well, we have seen him." And Thomas said, "Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Well, Jesus, when he appears to them again, tells Thomas, "Behold my hands, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thy hand into my side." And that's when Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And so that's how we know that he was nailed to the cross, nailed through the hands. And Thomas, knowing that's how he was crucified, was not going to believe that Jesus had actually risen from the grave unless he could see that that was those holes, the print of the nails in his hands. I tell you, Thomas was looking for some solid evidence, wasn't he? And these kind of details are important. It shows that these apostles were not a lot of gullible men and easily fooled. In fact, some of them had a hard time believing it really was Jesus. But they saw the evidence and believed, and they have given that evidence to us. I'm going to continue reading this part of the Sunday school lesson about helps and hints for the teacher. I'm going to back up just a little from where we were yesterday. This is a Sunday school lesson written for the Sunday schools of April the 4th, 1926, by E.A. Elam. And in this, he says, while in Matthew 16:19, Jesus designated Peter as a leader among the apostles, saying, "I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven," yet he promised here to all what he promised to Peter, and gave to all of the apostles the power to remit and retain sins. In light of the Great Commission and the subsequent preaching of the apostles, it is easy to see how they remitted and retained sins. They could not pass an act of pardon or absolve one from sin independently. No mortal or angel can do this. God alone can do this. But the apostles were to make known the conditions of pardon and salvation in the name of Jesus Christ to all nations. All who heard and obeyed what they said under the direction of Christ were pardoned, and all who refused to obey what they were taught were not pardoned. The sins of all such were retained. In Acts 2 and verse 36, where they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter answered them, saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That was the condition, repentance and baptism. And baptism was for the remission, wasn't it? So if you want to be remitted from your sins, that's how you do it. You believe, and you repent, and you obey in baptism. The apostles never claimed to remit and retain sins in any other way. This whole work was committed to them, and God promised to sustain them in it. He never took this work out of their hands. He sent Peter to Cornelius, Philip to the eunuch, Ananias to Saul of Tarsus, and all to tell the ones to whom they were sent these conditions of pardon and salvation. All who did what they were told to do enjoyed the remission of sins. This order prevails yet, and will prevail to the end of time. The same truth is taught in Matthew 18:15-20. When church members follow God's directions on earth, their sins are remitted in heaven. When they refuse to obey God on earth, there can be no hope of forgiveness in heaven. Let's look at the explanatory notes. We read in John chapter 20 and verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Thomas is Hebrew, and the name means twin. Didymus is Greek, and it means the same thing. Thomas was one of the 12 apostles. He was absent from this first meeting of Jesus with the apostles together. Why he was absent, we do not know. His doubt may have been the cause. He missed much, however, by being absent. You know, it was a Sunday evening when Jesus appeared to his apostles there, and he was absent. I know a lot of churches, and they gather together, not just on Sunday mornings, but Sunday evenings. And important things are taught and done on those Sunday evenings, and those who love the Lord make a special effort to be there. It would be a sad thing indeed to be absent when the saints gather on Sunday evenings and miss those teachings and miss those important events. Not much is said about Thomas in the New Testament. He ardently loved the Lord and at one time expressed a willingness to die with him, John 11 and verse 16. He was incredulous, yet he was honest. He was so true. It is thought perhaps he saw the dark sides and all the difficulties in the ways. We read in John chapter 20 and verse 25. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Sometimes after Jesus had departed, Thomas either joined the company of disciples or they sought him and told him of the appearance of Jesus. Here he expressed his great doubt and unwillingness to accept their testimony. He had seen Jesus on the cross, the nails through his hands, and the rent made by the spear in his side. He had seen Jesus die. And with that, all hope in Thomas had died. He now declares he could not believe unless he could not only see with his eyes, but also feel the prints of the nails in his hands and the rent in his side. To see these should be sufficient, but he must also feel them that he may not be deceived. And so we read in John chapter 20 and verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. And he said to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and see my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and put it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. After 8 days. That means, according to the Jewish way of counting, that this would be the second Sunday evening after Jesus' resurrection. On the Lord's Day, or the first day of the week, Jesus rose and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, 2 Timothy 1:10, and he met with his disciples. On the next Sunday, he met with them again, probably according to his own appointment. On the first day of the week, the day of Pentecost, they were again together, and the Spirit fell upon them. And after this, the disciples met on the first day of the week to break bread, Acts 20 and verse 7, and otherwise to worship God, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. When we assemble now, on the first day of the week, to worship God, we should do that which the early disciples did. Again, it says, the doors being shut, no doubt for the same reason. Jesus suddenly entered as before and said, Peace be unto you. Then he turned to Thomas and invited him to do as he declared he must do before he believed. Jesus knew Thomas's heart and what he had said. He dealt kindly with Thomas. It took less to convince Thomas than he had declared was necessary. His confession is open, frank, and full. None made a clearer or stronger one. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Thus the strongest doubts of the greatest doubter were removed. All this shows us, too, how the disciples were not disposed to believe in the resurrection, were convinced by many proofs. Acts 1 in verse 3 says, that he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Honesty of purpose, sincerity, and a desire to do God's will are essential to faith, John 7:17. Thomas saw, and therefore believed, but Jesus pronounced a special blessing on us who have not seen and yet believe. This is the third. We go now from that to the third appearance of Jesus to his disciples together. It seems difficult for some to understand the different appearances of Jesus to different purposes at different times because, well, they do not study these appearances and their connection and as they were made. The first appearance of Jesus to his disciples together, Thomas being absent, as had been stated, was on Sunday night after he rose from the morning of that day. But let it be remembered, he appeared to others at four different times on that day before he appeared to his disciples together. This appearance to his disciples was his fifth appearance, but the first to his disciples together. His second appearance to his disciples together, Thomas being present on the next Sunday night, was his sixth appearance. The remainder of this lesson gives the third appearance to his disciples together, but looking at all the appearances at all times and not just to his disciples, it makes this the seventh appearance since he arose. This time, he appeared to them on the shores of the Sea of Galilee before his death and just after his resurrection. Jesus appointed a mountain in Galilee where he would meet with his disciples. But meeting with his disciples on this mountain in Galilee was not his first appearance, as we have seen. John 21:1 says, After these things, the wonderful things which cluster around the resurrection and the formal appearances.